You are listening to a sermon by J. Evan Kreider, recorded on Sunday, September 2, 2018, at the Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only, and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
From the safety of our dining room table during breakfast, I read the Washington Post, The Guardian, Le Monde, Le Parisien, and summaries from the New York Times. I'm too tight, so I just read 10 articles a month, and the BBC. It is not happy reading for those who sympathize with immigrants fleeing from war, oppression, or unfair economies, as did my ancestors. It is not happy reading for those who believe laws and regulations should not enable the world's wealth to be owned by 1% of its inhabitants. It is not happy reading for those who want politicians and all news outlets to tell the truth. It is not happy reading for those who wonder why thousands of elected officials and ordained clergy remain silent while others do and say things that are wrong. It is not happy reading for those who do not want women to be viewed by the powerful as transitory sexual playmates. It is not happy reading to learn that people in power pay hush money. It is not happy reading for anyone who looks to the Beatitudes for guidance on ethics. Confronted by all of this, I feel helpless. Whether these wrongs are happening in Canada, the United States, Syria, Turkey, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, Russia, Mexico, Brazil, you name the country. Consequently, I simply keep on reading, slowly sipping my bowl of tea, and worry whether things will ever change, whether justice will ever prevail. After all, as the writer of Ecclesiastes wryly noted, there's nothing new under the sun. The very same sins powerful people are now committing the world over were also being committed in biblical times. In the Bible, writer after writer calls out to God, asking why the rich are allowed to twist laws so that they can become even more wealthy at the expense of ordinary people. Read the prophets. Or why people in power get away with telling lies. Read the prophets. Or why men, powerful men, are allowed to discredit others and pour scorn on them. Read the prophets. When reading the Bible, I have focused exclusively on applying its teachings to my daily living. Admirable as I thought this was, I now realize that I've ignored the powerful ways in which passages, particularly the Psalms, call out to God for help in today's society generally. The way they call out to God about how individuals are attempting to rule countries in ungodly ways. Several weeks ago, Janice and I began reading through the Psalms, in order, one psalm before each meal. Only once did she express the hope that it would be a short psalm so her food didn't get cold. Initially, we were put off by the talk of enemies and the like, and I began to wonder why some of the psalms had survived, and whether it was even worth our time to read all of the psalms, or should we just read the good ones, like we did this morning? And then the penny dropped. If I thought about how disturbed I have been by reading the news outlets at meals about these distracted times, the enemy psalms began to make sense. I have discovered that when I don't know how to pray, Psalms offer words I can use when I want to call out to God, begging that things might somehow change, whether on the personal level, in my life, or in modern society, or in governments generally. What amazes me is how personal Psalms can be, and at the same time, how critical those same Psalms can be of some public figures about whom we read. I know that we do not talk about politics in church, and that is for very good reasons. That's because some of you are misguided. That said, I believe that although Psalms never name any individual, these are nevertheless not neutral poems about abstract situations with vague enemies, although I have traditionally read them that way. Some of these sacred songs, and they're all songs, without naming people, openly criticize anybody, including those powerful individuals who make the lives of others uncertain and even miserable. Some psalms call out to God, pointing out that some people tell lies in order to gain unfair advantage. Some people seek to create unjust laws. Some people openly pour scorn on their rivals. You see, these psalms are not written by peasants. These are not written by illiterate poor people. These are written by educated people, and they would be part of the upper class. These are written by people who are looking around in their class, the class of power, the class of education, and they're calling out about what they see. These psalms articulate to God and to me the helplessness we experience while evil prevails, while we realize we can do nothing about it. Now I invite you to take your bulletins and turn to Psalm 12. Psalm 12. I'm assuming that the writer is not concerned with his next-door neighbors who work in the fields, or with the neighbor who works in the shop, or some poor neighbor who's out herding sheep. Pardon?
It's very hard to find Psalm 12.
Listen to me read Psalm 12 responsibly. Help, O Lord, for there is no longer anyone who is godly. The faithful have disappeared from humankind. They utter lies to each other. With flattering lips and double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boasts. Those who say, with our tongues we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is our master? Because the poor are despoiled, because the needy groan, I will now rise up, says the Lord. I will place them in the safety for which they long. The promises of the Lord are promises that are pure. Silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. You, O Lord, will protect us. You will guard us from this generation forever. On every side the wicked prowl, as vileness is exalted among humankind. Psalm 15 takes a different approach. Instead of openly criticizing corrupt individuals hanging around the monarchy in Jerusalem, seeking unfair economic advantage for their families, their cronies, their class, the poet takes a positive approach. But even so, one can still read between the lines. This psalm is about everybody, including the ungodly, who are high and mighty. O Yahweh, who shall dwell in your tent? Who shall live on your holy mountain? Whoever lives with integrity, who practices justice, who speaks the truth from the heart, who does not deceive with the tongue, who causes no evil to a friend and accepts no bribe against a neighbor, who detests the disobedient but honors those who revere Yahweh and stands by an oath at any cost, one who does not lend money at usury and accepts no bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these shall never be removed. And most of us are familiar with Psalm 1. We sang it this morning as an opening. Our family memorized it in England as part of our devotions way back in 1982. And thanks to Cousin Alan, we memorized it in the King James so that we could get the sitteth in the seat of the scornful verse. Part of its beauty is that Psalm 1 applies to everybody, ordinary people such as you and I, and to the most powerful people in the world. Listen to verse 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. Now, this is true for all of us. But it also reminds me of recent headlines focused on corrupt counselors, corrupt lawyers, indictments. Or take the path that sinners tread. Now, all of us try to avoid that path. But this phrase reminded me of headlines which have noted so many people in positions of authority, even within the church, taking, all too frequently, the path that sinners tread. Or sit in the seat of those who are scornful. Read any tweets lately? Psalm 1, verse 1, the very first verse in the entire book of Psalms, is highly critical of all, including the powerful, who are acting in evil ways. Psalm 1 praises good people. The poet indirectly criticizes those who do not follow God's ways, and the writer expresses the hope that some people will be faithful, reliable, like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit. Now, fruit is not for the benefit of the tree. Fruit is for the benefit of something else, that bear its fruit in its season, in a timely fashion, not empty promises that will never be fulfilled. Listen to me read Psalm 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of those who are scornful. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season. And their leaves do not wither. In all they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The big question remains, when will these promises be fulfilled? When will the wicked be like chaff which the wind drives away? When? People have been reading these psalms and calling out these prayers to God for centuries. Monks Benedictine monks go through all 150 psalms once a week, and some of them every day. In his letter to his friends in Ephesus, Paul wrote along similar lines, words which were recently read at one of John McCain's memorial services. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Does God see and care when powers go unchecked in this country and that? When rulers of the darkness of this world operate with impunity? Will God ever bring wrongdoers of this world to justice? These are the very same questions which the prophets asked centuries ago, which hundreds of poets posed in their psalms, which Paul asked, which the book of Revelation states so forcefully about the Roman Empire, which devout Jews asked in their ghettos and in their camps, and which we ask today. How long, O Lord? Let us pray. God, as we hear rumors and reports of the powerful giving and seeking illegal counsel, telling lies, heaping scorn on opponents, we pray that young people across the world will not look to the ungodly for their role models, and that they will not imitate ungodly ways. In these distracted times, we pray that you will help us to live as your children, as children of peace, as people who tell only the truth, as people who think and speak good of our neighbors. May our hope, our delight, our ethics be founded on your ways, day and night. On this, our anniversary Sunday, we give thanks that so many have been nurtured and supported by coming here to worship you and to discuss your ways. We give thanks that so many people in this room are indeed like your trees, planted by streams of water, bearing fruit both for us and for others in a timely fashion. Be with our fellowship as we continue to study these ways, to discuss them, and seek to live by them. Watch over us throughout this coming week and throughout this fellowship's coming year, during all of our decision-making, during our speaking, our thinking, so that we will be worthy to be called your children. Amen.